Welcome to Unveiled, the HPD podcast where we dive into the world of policing. I'm your host, Captain Michelle Roan, and today I'm joined by Detective Rebecca Rossman and canine handler Charlie Murphy. I am so glad that you ladies could join me. This is our second episode of the women's wonder hour, or half an hour, or however long we managed to have conversation. But Chief Weidman has been gracious enough to let the ladies of HPD hijack the podcast every couple of weeks so that we can all have an opportunity to talk about the different challenges that we face in law enforcement. So I was really excited to have you all because you have an awesome journey in law enforcement. You're a detective, and I wanted to hear about that. And I absolutely love that you are a canine handler. I think we've only ever had maybe one, maybe two other women, not very many. And so I'm really interested in your stories. And so hopefully we can dive into that and talk about it and have great conversation together.
Awesome.
Cool.
I'm excited.
All right. So we'll start with you, Corporal Rossman, because you've been here a little bit longer. So we'll go in order here. Tell me about your journey and your story and how you chose HPD and where you were before and sort of how you got here.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Michelle. That's such a nice little introduction. So I've been a resident of Hampton pretty much my entire life. My dad was in the Army, so I was born up in Petersburg, came all the way down here. We went to Douglasville and came back around the age when I was four. Mm-hmm. But I know the city like the back of my hand, and I absolutely love this city. I feel like this area in Virginia, you get a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You can go get to the beach, you can go a little bit west, get to the mountains, yeah. Go north. You know, a lot of city-esque place around here. So Hampton, to me, I feel like is very community focused. We do a lot of things with our community, and not just police, just generally. There's a lot of events and festivals to go to. And honestly, when I was applying for police departments, this was the only one I applied to. Usually people shotgun it and they go to different police departments, but this is the one I landed on. And then just while doing more research when I joined here, I saw we were very active in our community. And I was like, I had a gut feeling. I was like, I think this is going to be the police department for me. Yeah. So I've been here. It's been a little over 6 years now. I've been a detective for now. It's the last, in July it'll be two. So yeah. Time flies. Started off in nights. Mm-hmm. I went to the Business Improvement District after being on nights, and then I ended up getting promoted and then coming straight to the Bureau. It's been very, very, very exciting and also a very long journey, but I feel like I'm learning every day.
Yeah. Six mm-hmm. years that's a good spot in your career. It's where you know what you're doing enough to know what you're doing and feel confident in it, mm-hmm. But also still learn. I mean, 23 years later, I still learn. Yes. But that's a sweet spot, I feel like. It's where the confidence grows and mm-hmm. really settles in. Do you have a favorite assignment so far out of the few that you've had?
So far, I mean, I wouldn't say I have a favorite, but I definitely feel like that this is the most educated and challenging, you know, position I've been in, because as I said, I feel like there's things new day, like every day that's popping up that's new for me that I have to, you know, okay, well, I'm going to refer back, I'm going to look at case law, and also I'm learning from my coworkers all the time. Very cool. Like I get my experience from hearing about other people's experiences or watching them do interviews, mm-hmm. and it's just been like an amazing thing because I kind of am building myself upon, you know, my peers and coworkers around me.
Yeah, you build your own style. You take a little of this and a little of that and do what works and mix mm-hmm. in a little bit of Rebecca, and then you've got your own thing. Yeah. It's really nice to hear that you like what you're doing, even though it's challenging, because yes. I think what we see a lot, and I mean in every organization, is people don't want to go do the hard thing or the hard assignment or the new thing because it's hard and new. But to hear you say that you enjoy it because of that is really refreshing. So I love to hear stuff like that because I love a good challenge. Like, don't tell me I can't do something because yeah. I'm going to prove you wrong every time.
Yes.
And so it's really nice to hear something like that. So yeah. I love that. And if I'm not mistaken, you've got family in law enforcement.
I do.
A mom, right?
My dad.
A dad. Yes. Okay. Yep. Tell us about your journey. And you went through the academy when I was there. So,
yes,
you know,
I did.
Love that. Love that.
Yes.
That's why you've turned out so well.
Exactly.
Just so tell us about it.
Yeah. I moved here from Seattle, Washington on a whim. My dad is a career Seattle police officer on patrol. He lives for that. I always wanted to be an officer. I think my dad's the coolest person in the world.
Yeah.
My mom was a dispatcher also for a short stint. Yeah. So I definitely grew up in law enforcement. My dad dabbled in federal stuff as well, TFO type situation.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I moved down here against his better judgment. I fell in love with Hampton. The first day I came to apply, or my physical, it felt like family. Yeah. I felt like immediately, like, they wanted you to be there. They were excited. It wasn't just immediately extreme or talking down to you or anything like that, like some other departments do. I've always wanted to be a canine handler. I think that's pretty cool. Granted, I went into it knowing little to nothing about canine handling. I remember when I got the dog, they said, oh, yeah, he's a narcotics dog. And I thought, that's crazy. Why did it never cross my mind that my dog would do something specific?
Right.
I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing at all. Since I've learned so much. I could nerd out about dog stuff for hours. I love patrol. That was another reason I wanted to get canine, was because I could stay on patrol. Mm-hmm. Violent crime, I love responding to it. So, and my biggest pet peeve is when you're stuck on something that seems sort of minor and then something super exciting comes out and you're like,
right,
this person's complaint is just as important and I need to not be upset that I can't rush off. And now I have the dog, I'm like, I'm rushing off.
That's right.
I need to be there. So I love that aspect of it. I love learning more. I always want to learn more. So I get to do that. I get to be in training every 2 weeks with the dog. Every day you're humbled by the dog. You're humbled by the people you work with. So it's awesome. I love law enforcement. I love the canine work. I love patrol, and I love Hampton. So
does the dog teach you? It sounds like the dog teaches you as much as
the dog teaches
it,
you.
I guess.
We make the joke. You're always holding the stupid end of the leash.
It's really walking you instead.
Yeah.
Okay. It should have little poop pickup bags too.
Exactly.
Let me go clean up after my human.
Yep. He's always teaching me something. Always telling me something. I'm always like, oh, I'm sorry, your mom didn't pick up on that, but we'll go try this now.
That's really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you train every 2 weeks, and you're currently the only female in the unit, but you also train with other jurisdictions around here, and I know there's a couple of women.
Yes. We just brought in another female to our unit. She just started maybe 2 weeks ago, so that's exciting.
Amazing.
Girl power.
Yeah. Isn't it nice just to have that camaraderie with
it is.
Someone that just understands?
Yes, and then York County and Gloucester both have a female handler on each, which I'm really good friends with. And
very good.
We love just messing around and creating trouble for the boys.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're always
all
the
really
troublemakers,
friends,
aren't we? Try not to let on to that,
exactly.
But I think we might be the ones
don't
that stir
anyone.
The pot.
Yes, absolutely.
What has your experience been like, Rebecca, down in the Bureau as a female?
It's definitely something that's different. When I was on the road, it was just kind of like we all were, I don't want to say just a team, but we were all kind of like a unit.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same goal. When it comes to going to calls, you never know what you're going to. Something comes up and you're like, you okay? And whoever's available is going to be the person that comes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, at the end of the day, right, like you're out, you're risking your life, you're going to something or a predicament that could come in as one thing and come out to be something else. So, and I feel like a lot of people, especially in Hampton, they have that mindset of like, oh, okay, well, I'm here, you know, this is my family, as she said, this is my family, like that, this is my unit, like we're all in it no matter what you look like, no matter what your gender is. And I get a lot of that there. And then being down the Bureau, it's almost like the same thing, right? But in investigations, we have different teams and we all kind of let go sometimes, especially if you've had a long day. You get, you know, a homicide or something big the night before and you have to pass it over to the other team. And people, you know, they trust you and you build that camaraderie, but you kind of have more of a specialized group of people. So you can kind of keep things in your team. So you're able to work more efficiently with each other and you're able to learn your teammates a little bit more because you're right next to them, you know, in the office most of the time. And while there's a lot of typing, there's also a lot of opportunities to be able to talk, you know, and have chats and stuff. And I feel like, you know, especially being in the Bureau, you do have a lot of people that do look after you because they do see, you know, okay, yes, like you're on scene, but also too, we're downgraded. We don't have vests on all of the time. You know, we don't have all of our extra gear. We just have a off-duty holster and then that's it half the time. Maybe not everybody, you know, wears handcuffs all the time, but it's like you constantly have people around you who are wanting to help and protect you and they want to help you learn. And as I said, I really don't feel like that they look at my gender too much, but when it comes to more stressful situations, people do watch out for you. So, and I just feel like, you know, as I said, my team, you know, especially, you know, they are very, very down to earth and they're willing to help learn, they're willing to help me, you know, guide me with my investigations, especially if it's something I just haven't dealt with before, and maybe they have.
Yeah.
So
do you find that when you're doing interviews, the people that you're interviewing, when I was in the Bureau, they would be like, I'll talk to her, but mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you. So oftentimes in investigations, especially when you're in a little room with somebody, a lot of them suspects are more willing to, they would prefer to speak to a female detective. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah. And it's such an odd thing, you know, human behavior, you know, I'm still pursuing my degree in psychology at ODU, which you are a professor at, but you know, what it is that, you know, I've noticed sometimes some people either let their guard down mm-hmm. and they just talk. Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, I've experienced recently, I was talking to one of my suspects and showed them pictures and, you know, I was like, is this you, you know, coming in here, or why were you in the store? And then they're like, well, that's not me. It's like, okay. And then they're like, well, they don't have a beard. All right, that's fine. And I come back with a second picture, and then we're just talking about nothing, right? We're just talking about what they do during the day, if they have family in the area, just normal stuff. And I said, you lower the guard down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of start asking me some personal questions. Yeah, whatever, it's fine. You know, like, oh, are you from here? Yeah, okay. And I feel like just because of like the outside image of being a woman.
Yeah.
And then I showed the second picture, right? So he wasn't really thinking as much of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Show the second picture. And then they're like, wait, is this the same picture? And I'm like, I mean, same day. Yeah. And he's like, but the first picture is of me coming in the door.
Whoops.
And you know, sometimes it's just like one of those things, like it's just an opportunity that could pop up sometimes, right?
Sure.
So and again, right, like when you retrospect, you look at it and you're like, I need to pay attention to this kind of stuff more. I need to see, you know, how people are behaving, how they're looking, you know, at if I'm approaching someone, because some people have a certain expectation of women when they walk in a room,
yep.
or, you know, okay, well, what can I get away with, or what does this person mm-hmm. want out of me, mm-hmm. or they expect, like, just police in general, oh, well, they're going to ask me all these questions and do all these things. Mm-mm. It's not like that all the time. Sometimes it's more laid back and easy, and so when people relax with a woman, sometimes it's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it helps.
It can be disarming when you expect one thing to happen, and instead you get this person that just wants to have a conversation with you, and it really does help in building rapport.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten any crazy looks when you get out with the dog and they're like, oh, that's on the other end of the leash.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It's not a guy.
They're like, oh, the canine's here.
And with a woman.
They're definitely that. And, you know, I do a lot of work with SIU because uh-huh. they only have one dog, and they put him through work. So I try to help out him as much as I can. And again, same thing, roadside interview. They're like, oh, well, can I talk to her? And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are investigating, but I'll ask the basic questions.
Yeah.
So
what is your dad didn't do canine. He just did operations.
Yes. Yep. He's still in operations.
What do they think about your?
he wants canine really bad. Obviously he works for Seattle, which is a very large area, and they have a very small canine unit. Mm. So he's been trying to get in there for a while. So it's definitely, we have a friendly competition in life.
It sounds like it. And I love that.
Yes. It's always a, I don't want to say a one-up because it's all in good fun, but
family competition.
Yes, uh-huh.
So you know how it goes.
He's like, oh, well, I would do it this way. Oh, well,
I'm the one with the dog, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just wait.
I'm sure it's nice to bounce ideas off of him, too, with that.
Oh, yeah. And he's a big reader. He's very knowledgeable. So sometimes I'm like, how do I actually do this? And I feel like you know more than me. But we learn from each other and bounce ideas off of each other, like you said, too. So that's... it's all in good fun.
Yeah. So do you hope to stay canine as long as you can?
As long as I can, yes.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's a lot of fun. I haven't been here too long, so I have a long career ahead of me, so I'd like to have fun with it for as long as I can.
We took our dog, our family dog, to training, and you mentioned the science behind the dog and the animal science and learning all about it, and we were told by the trainers that the female's voice, just because it's higher pitched than a man's voice, tends to be more, I don't know if appealing is even the right word, but the dog, I guess, learns praise better, receives praise better from that voice.
Oh, really?
Because it's high pitched. So it was funny in the dog class, the trainers were like, all right, gentlemen, I need you to talk in your high-pitched voice. And you're like, good boy, good boy, good boy. You know, and all the men are like, good dog. And the dog is like, looks afraid, you know?
So when I first came into the unit, MPO Boyd, he's in charge of our unit, he was like, well, we used to call it our girl voice, but I feel like I shouldn't say that anymore. Oh, no. I said, no, it's a girl voice. And now Ashley, she's a handler in York County.
Yeah.
And they make fun of us all the time. We have like a competition of who can get squeakier. We're like, come on. And then they start mocking us. I'm like, see, now your dog's responding to you.
Right, exactly. Because the dog is so responsive to that.
Additionally,
so responsive.
Yeah, additionally, they say that dogs become more protective of their female handlers.
Mm.
They said, like, for Nico, sometimes his bite gets a little bit harder since I've had him. I said, that's right, that's my boy.
Interesting. Yeah. I would be fascinated in the science behind that as
It's very interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. Our family dog was supposed to be for my husband, but he much prefers me. Maybe it was because I talked in my girly voice, and he's just like, Mom thinks everything I do is great.
Exactly. Yeah, they call it our squeal. Ashley and I squeal.
That's right.
The dogs.
But you got good dogs, right?
They love us, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
What is your plan for the future? Rebecca, tell us. What you want to do here?
You know, I mean, multiple goals. I'd like to continue moving up the ranks. One of my jobs, I mean, I love being a teacher and I love mentoring. I love sharing things with other people. Each time, you know, we have a new detective come down on the bureau, or even before that, when I had trainees on the road, like I even made like a whole binder so they would be able to be prepared, have documents to reference, and just being able to give others what it is I wish I had when I had first started out or got to a new assignment. You know, I just want to help be that support for people and just help build that confidence and just build, you know, that excitement for the job for other people here. And I feel like with going up the ranks, I'm able to have that opportunity and have that chance, you know, to create more influence, help create, you know, more change. And yes, while I still think what I'm doing is important with being in the bureau and what my assignment is now, and I can still do all of the same things being at the rank it is that I am now, but to continue to go up. So if there needs to be maybe like a policy change or, you know, just getting in certain rooms sometimes and, you know, I have people here, you know, I trust and I can pass off words to and say, hey, you know, I've been thinking of this, you know, but sometimes at some point I know it'll feel good to be able to be that person, to be able to be in that room and present an idea or a suggestion or something, and just be able to hear other people out. Also too, with other people who are coming into the department, especially new females, to see someone else, you know, who can relate to them and be inspired. I mean, I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by, you know, Lieutenant Sheck. I mean, there's a lot of women within our department I look up to Sergeant Vega, when she was here, she was a corporal at the time. She was a firearms instructor when I was in the academy, and I was like, she can do this. I was like, that's awesome, like I want to do this too. And that's what inspired me to be able to continue on that path, because I saw someone who was like doing that thing, and it helped. I probably would have been able to do it without, you know, having someone who looked like me there, you know, but it just is one of those things. I'm able to call, ask questions, you know, and see what that process was like for them and what hurdles maybe they had to face to get to that point. So I want to be that person for other people. That's my goal.
It shows you what's possible when you see someone that you can identify with in that position.
Absolutely.
And so I do think that's important, to have people that you can be mentored by and that you can mentor, because there are people coming in behind the rest of us.
Right.
And everyone's path looks a little bit different, but we tend to face sort of the same things in the sort of the same challenges. I know you're a mother, and so that brings its own set of challenges.
Yes.
Being in this job and being a parent. You're a negotiator with me, and like, we get called out and you are, I don't know how this is the case, maybe you're always the first person to say, I'll be there. So whatever support system you have at home is amazing and incredible.
Blessed.
And just to be able to make yourself available like that and be so ready to help is incredible. You guys are on call. You do a rotation.
Yes,
so it's not a job without demand that asks us to balance all of the hats that we wear or will wear in life with this career. And so I think, you know, being a female brings its own set of unique challenges and obstacles. But I think we've seen that it can be done. I mean, we've seen some powerhouse women in chief's jobs around the country that sat there before we did. And it is nice to see that that gives us a good opportunity. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So what has your biggest challenge been, Charlie?
I think my biggest challenge was just getting confidence in myself. I came into the department at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. I was class baby in the academy. I'm still one of the youngest people on my shift. So just feeling like I can tell someone, not what to do, but take charge of a situation. Like, sure. When I get called out for canine stuff, say it's for an article search, we're looking for a firearm or a knife or something that someone threw or dropped when they were running. Mm-hmm. All officers get excited. They want to be the one to find it. Mm-hmm. But they also want to call the dog out because investigations needs to find it. Well, then they all want to look and they want to mess up the odor and everything else. Me having, like, to be like, hey, guys, stop. Get out of my scene. That's nerve-wracking for me. It still stresses me out with some people. But mostly just confidence and knowing what I'm talking about. Mm. Again, the knowledge with canine is, like, there's so much, like, when you try to explain, it's like ping-ponging off of stuff. Like, yeah. I don't even know if I'm making sense half the time. So going to court and testifying on that, I'm like, I know what I'm trying to say, but I don't think it's coming out that way. Just stuff like that.
Sure. Really. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you find a niche, whether it's canine, negotiations, investigations, leadership, a blend of it all, right. you almost have to become an expert in that niche.
Yes.
So that you can testify in court, so that you can be successful in it. And the world behind animal science is incredible.
It is.
I think MPO Boyd and MPO Hicks just recently, a couple of years ago, got master's degrees in animal science.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do right now as well.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's so much knowledge and so much, like, how did you figure this out?
Well, and it's continuing education.
Right.
So that's, you know, that was sort of my end point. But with every niche comes continuing education.
Yes.
You've never landed in the seat of leadership or detective or canine and you're like, I'm here.
I know it all.
And now I know it ever. Yeah. You know, now I know it all. Those people exist, but they also fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that you've entered into a niche that requires you to continue to learn and you're hungry to continue to learn means that you found a place that you're interested in.
Right.
And to find that, it's the beginning of your career.
Yeah, I'm extremely
lucky. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
That's really cool.
Having my dream job at 23 is pretty pretty intense.
Right, and we're hiring too. Right. So, like, ladies, if you want to do it,
please. Like, please.
We have dream jobs for days, don't we?
Yes.
Really fast before we wrap up, what's been your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge. I would say just we have a lot of things it is that we would like to do within the department. We have a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have more than one interest, you know, you have a decision. Let's say one opening opens and some specialty, and then another one opens up for a certain position or to the road, and you're like, I really kind of want to go back, you know, to this squad. Yeah. I like these people on this side, or I want to get some experience over here on this side of the city. It's hard to make those kinds of decisions. But I feel like, you know, when you have people in your corner and a support group, and you're able to ask them questions like, hey, I'm struggling with just between deciding these two things right now. You know, what's your personal experience, or like, what have you observed in the past, or what do you think I'd benefit most from?
Yeah.
I had to learn to get uncomfortable and ask those questions, because it's not easy talking to other people like, hey, like, I want to make a change, but I don't really know, you know, which way to go. And being able to get that advice and being open to someone saying that, I think is something I had to learn, to kind of step out of my comfort zone and ask other people this stuff, which is easy to do, but at the same time, it's hard.
Sure, it's hard to be vulnerable.
Yes.
But what a great plug for, like, being overwhelmed with opportunity at the Hampton Police Division.
Yeah, it's like you can change a job every few years.
But there are choices, you know, and you certainly don't want to end your career and look back and say, I should have, could have, would have. But you might do that anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not just,
go for it.
If it fits with your life and it's something that you love and you have a desire to learn, like, do it, because it might be the best opportunity that you ever stumbled upon. So
yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap it up. I'm so glad that you all came.
Thank
so much to offer. Really cool stories. I am excited for both of you. You'll be running HPD. I'll be on a beach, retired, with, like, a cocktail or something. But, you know, I look up to both of you a lot, and the amazing things that you do at HPD, and the way that you lead, and the way that you represent yourself and women in our organization. So I'm really glad that we could highlight you today. So thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Unveiled. I, again, am your host, Captain Michelle Roan, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode with our amazing HPD Wonder Women.
Thanks for joining us for Unveil, a podcast highlighting the extraordinary men and women of the Hampton Police Division. To learn more, check us out on our social media and at hampton.gov/police.